resonates, the premiere of the great baritone Paul Robeson singing the patriotic cantata Ballad for Americans on the CBS network. In 76.
Hi, I'm Laura from Hudson at the Hudson Farmers Market. You're listening to WGXC Acra, 90.7 FM, hands-on radio.
The Electronic Frontier Foundation, or EFF, fights to protect your rights in the digital world. When a patent troll threatened podcasters, they fought back. EFF has also defended your right to encryption and has sued the NSA to end the government's mass, suspicionless surveillance. There are different ways you can help EFF, from donations, to signing petitions, to writing your representatives, to just spreading the word. Find out more at EFF.org. That's EFF.org.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Mid-Hudson Cable, serving Columbia, Greene, and southern Albany counties with digital cable, high-speed internet, and cable phone services for homes and businesses since 1971. Mid-Hudson Cable, all the right connections on the web at mhcable.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of E-Team of Sunnyside, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You, too, can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here.
Abby Hoover is reporting for Columbia Green Media. The Greenport Town Board heard from Town Assessor Kim Smith February 5th about the ongoing townwide reassessment project. The re-evaluation began May 29, 2019, and will continue through May 30th, 2020. During the process, the assessor's office will review each property and assign updated values. Notices will be sent out to property owners in late February so they can review the assessment before the tentative roll is filed. The last assessment was done in 2015, but Smith said it was not as in-depth as the one currently underway. Smith said, and I quote, "There are going to be some shifts this time," end quote. She said her office is working in cooperation with the Columbia County Real Property Decorator, Suzette Boy, on the project. As a result, the town has saved thousands of dollars, Smith said. Boy said it is not a perfect system, and the county has learned a lot in the process of following real property tax law. The goal is to be able to evaluate everyone in the same manner. The Town of Greenport Grievance Day is held on the Thursday following the last Tuesday in May. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. The Ravenna Times-Herald is reporting six Ravia Coiman Selkirk students were named area champions January 25th after competing against 10 Capital Region teams. The first Lego robotic tournament was held at SUNY Poly Colleges of Nanoscale Science and Engineering in Albany. In addition to being the overall champions, the team took first place in robot performance. Coimanstown Councilman Brandon Lefebvre attended the tournament to support the team. LaFleur in a social media post, and I quote, "I was very impressed with their creativity, teamwork, public speaking skills, and the gracious professionalism they exhibited," end quote. In the first robotics competition for students in grades 4 through 8, the teams build, program, and compete with Lego-based robots and research a real-world engineering challenge. The Robina Coyman Selkirk team consisted of Parker Dio, Louisa Englehart, Ryan Keeper, Olivia Ortiz, John Robinson, and Samuel Robinson. And you can read the full story in the Robina Times Herald. Bethany Bump is reporting for the Times Union. Human services organizations statewide urged state lawmakers this week to increase funding for their organizations, saying rising costs and a decade of decreased support has left their sector at a, and I quote, breaking point, end quote. More than 40 nonprofits that provide services to children and adults facing mental illness, addiction, developmental disabilities, and other challenges have asked Governor Andrew Cuomo and state legislature to commit to a 3% annual funding increase over the next 5 years. They argue the request is consistent with the 3% growth rate Cuomo says is reasonable for Medicaid and education. According to the governor's most recent executive budget, mental hygiene agencies provide support to more than 1 million New Yorkers, including more than 800,000 people with mental illnesses, 234,000 people with substance or gambling addiction, and 140,000 people with developmental disabilities. Read the full story in the Times Union. Jeanette Wolfberg is reporting for the Columbia paper on the Hudson City School District's plan to sell the building that once housed John Edwards Primary School on State Street in Hudson. The building was closed in 2018. Dan Simpson with CBRE Realty Albany has the property listed for just under $4 million. Simpson, along with CBRE sales associate Alexandria Rizzo, attended the Board of Education meeting January 21st, and both expressed enthusiasm about their involvement. Simpson said, and I quote, "JLE lends itself to a conversion use. It's a puzzle finding the right buyer to fit in. It needs money to make it work. About 5 acres come with the property, but unfortunately they're mostly slopes and wetlands. It's rare to find someone who says it's okay as is," end quote. Simpson estimated it would take anywhere from 1 to 2 years to sell the property, but noted it is a good time to be a seller. In a second, unrelated real estate transaction involves the district contributing land to the state for the Empire State Trail. The trail will run in front of Hudson Junior and Senior High Schools on Harry Howard Avenue. The State Department of Transportation has offered the district almost $27,000 for the strip of land. Although the state will assume responsibility for hazards and liabilities, the school district will have to shovel following a snowfall. Read the full story in the Columbia paper. Zolan Cano Youngs and Jesse McKinley report in the New York Times that New Yorkers of all political beliefs may see slower entry through borders and airports because the president does not like a certain New York law. On February 5th, President Donald Trump's Department of Homeland Security temporarily barred New Yorkers from joining global entry and similar trusted traveler programs that allow quicker entry through borders and airport lines. The president does not like a New York law that allows undocumented immigrants to obtain driver's licenses, and this action is retribution. Chad Wolf, the acting Secretary of Homeland Security, said that New York State residents could no longer apply for the programs because of the so-called green light law. Richard Azzopardi, a senior advisor to Governor Andrew M. Cuomo, said, and I quote, "This is obviously political retaliation by the federal government, and we're going to review our legal options," end quote. Read more about this story in the New York Times. Sarah Tapton reports for Columbia Green Media that the new Green County Jail in Coxsackie is costing taxpayers more, even if Green County Administrator Sean Groden is putting the new charges in a different budget column. Because of the jail that is under construction, Greene County taxpayers now have to pay $12,360 annually to count birds on the property. Quinzer Environmental LLC of Selkirk will take the money out of the county to conduct a bird count, invasive species monitoring, and vegetation analysis at the new jail site. Catskill Republican Michael Bulick said, and I quote, "I can't believe we pay $135 per hour for a bird watcher," end quote. Groden said he would make it look like the new cost does not come from the jail project that some call unnecessary. He said, and I quote, "I will not be charging this to the jail capital project," end quote. Instead, anyone tracing where the county's spending goes will find it in the general fund. The size of the jail varied during the approval process, growing larger after legislators voted to approve the project. At the least, Greene County taxpayers are on the hook for a $39 million bond at 2.49% interest and another $8.1 million in county funds, plus the related projects that are in the general fund. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. Steve Hughes reports for the Times Union that Emily Vincent filed a lawsuit February 5th against the town of Bern in southern Albany County after she was removed from the planning board last month without a required public hearing. Vincent was made an alternate on the planning board, a position she says doesn't exist. Vincent was replaced by someone who is not on the board and who previously, as a judge, was convicted of extortion and bribery. Thomas Spargo was made the board's chairperson after spending more than 2 years in prison in 2009. Bern supervisor Sean Lyons told the Times Union last month, and I quote, "We know he has paid his debt. He's doing all the things to expunge the record and clear his name. He's a really good fit for the planning board," end quote. Lyons would not comment about the lawsuit. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Joseph Spector reports for the Poughkeepsie Journal that New York's Department of Environmental Conservation said February 4th that 2019 was the safest year in recent history for hunting, with one death and 12 accidents. A shooter failing to properly identify a target on a deer drive led to the only death, and most of the accidents involved tree stands. A few accidents involved hunters not wearing hunter orange. DEC Commissioner Basil Sagel said in a statement, and I quote, "Nearly 550,000 New Yorkers and visitors enjoy the sport of hunting each year, and the declining number of hunting incidents confirms that today's generation of hunters are the most safety-conscious yet," end quote. The DEC said, and I quote, "All of these incidents could have been prevented if hunting safety rules had been followed," end quote. The DEC started taking statistics in the 1960s. In 1966, for instance, there were 166 accidents and 13 deaths. Read more about this story in the Poughkeepsie Journal.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
National Weather Service in Albany predicts there's a 30% chance of snow showers Sunday. Cloudy skies are the forecast with a high of just 35 degrees. Sunday night, snow is also possible, maybe a half an inch, below around 29. Monday, rain and snow are both likely. Rain after 10 a.m. with cloudy skies, a high near 41. Less than a half an inch of snow is possible. Monday night, mostly cloudy is the forecast with a low around 28. Tuesday, again, there is a slight chance of snow showers in the morning, then turning to rain. It's 40% chance on Tuesday. The forecast high is 38. Tuesday night, the low is expected to be around 26. And again, there is a 30% chance of snow showers in the evening Tuesday. This has been the WGXC Weather.
Get a local event mentioned on All Together Now.
go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
On Sunday, February 9th, John Medeski and Billy Martin's Shack Party, featuring several sets of music to benefit Creative Music Studio, the legendary nonprofit foundation at the Beverly in Kingston at 5 p.m. The Community Music Space, located at the Chocolate Factory in Red Hook, is an artistic educational center that provides a voice for music and acting in the Hudson Valley. Groups perform extensively in the community, from festivals to public venues and street fairs, as well as this annual showcase at Club Helsinki Hudson at 7 p.m. Legendary free jazz readist McPhee from Kingston and drummer Corsano from Ithaca perform at Tubby's in Kingston at 8 p.m. That's it for this week's WGXC Community Calendar. You can add your own event and hear it right here on the radio by visiting WGXC.org/calendar.
WGXE welcomes audio responses from listeners. Anyone can call and leave a message with WGXE, and we'll play it on the air. Call 518-291-WGXE and leave up to a 3-minute message for airplay. Hear something you disagree with? Want to speak out on an issue? Plug your band's show? Let your neighbors know something important? Call 518-291-9492 and leave a 3-minute message anytime about any issue. That number again is 518-291-WGXC. 518-291-9492.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXE 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson, listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Amelia. I'm a student at Hudson High School, and I'm also from Hudson.
I'm Lena. I am a student from MC Smith, and I am from Hudson.
Hi, my name is AJ. I go to school at Leibury, and I have recently moved up here from Manhattan, and now I live in Elizabethville.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Books Yay! We love, books we hate.
All that good stuff.
And books in between.
Things. Yeah, and bookish things.
Average books.
Average books.
And also, I'm kind of mad at my friend saying that bookish isn't a word.
Bookish is a word, I think.
Yeah. Do you know what it means?
It means you're bookish. I don't know. How do you define that?
Well,
it's a word if it has a meaning that is understood.
Yeah.
Oh, my friend.
That's what I say.
My friend pretended to pull out an imaginary dictionary, and I'm like, did you pull that out of your pants?
Bookish is a word. Quote, Emily Schmiedes, Hudson Area Library Director.
I feel like a library director is a fairly accurate reliable source when it comes
You're
to
You're the
words.
Director?
But also from Oxford.
Oh.
Bookish,
yeah.
Adjective of a person or way of life devoted to reading and studying rather than worldly interests.
Me.
Or
me.
Of language or writing, literary in style or allusion.
It's me.
Me.
Me. I'm illusion. Tag yourself. I'm illusion.
I'm going to tag myself as the writing part.
Okay.
Oh, I like
I'm going to tag myself as anything that has to do with books and whatever I love.
Nice. I like worldly interests as well.
Yeah.
But I also love books.
I
don't think they're exclusive.
I put bookish as one of my traits, and I also put my very most trait that Emily and I think Amelia knows about when we first started the show, hungry, which I am now.
Me too. The struggle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyways, we're excited because Amelia's back. We missed her the past couple weeks.
I got sick. I couldn't. I had a bad throat.
Well, thank you for not bringing your sickness to the studio.
Yeah.
For sparing us. But we did miss you. And we're wondering if you've been reading anything interesting.
I haven't been reading anything. But recently, the new semester started and I got into my creative writing class. So I'm actually writing some stuff now and learning about some really interesting like story formats, like two-sentence horror stories or two-sentence stories in general. Six-word stories, which tend to turn into horror stories just because of how up for interpretation they are. And today we learned about microfiction, which is fiction under 500 or under 1,000 words. The definitions varied when I looked for it, which also, because of their short length and, like, very up to interpretation, like, things can also be horror stories. My class seems to lean into the horror aspect of writing much more, mostly because of the books we've probably read before. I mean, we read The Handmaid's Tale. At this point, we've been conditioned to go into the darker implications of things.
Yeesh. That's neat.
But we started writing some six-word stories and two-sentence horror stories, which we started peer editing. It's just very interesting because sometimes compared to reading like a longer book, it's just, hold on. This sentence started out with me having a clear path of somewhere to go, and it's just falling apart. I'm trying to compare it between like reading a whole novel and reading a microfiction or a short story.
Sure. Maybe it's
a
more
short
relief.
Story is, yeah, it's easier and not, I mean, not easier in terms of reading level or skill, but like just lighter reading. But then it's also interesting because it also can be anything but light, like with the horror stories and with the microfiction we read today, which was a fairly dark subject matter. It's not like light in terms of content, but it's interesting how someone can get that same feeling from a short story as a longer novel would take to like with like 500 pages. These people achieve that like feeling and that mood within 500 words or less, and I think that's really cool, and I think it's really cool that we're learning about it.
Could you tell us maybe a short story? Have you written any?
I wrote a few. If I remember right, I remember one of my short horror stories. It went along the lines of, I had the dream again with dust filling my lungs. I've had this dream before. All I have to do is pray that when I wake up, I'll be able to reach for my inhaler. So I prefer to go for the real fears, like suffocation being that one. My friend has a real fear that the world is a simulation, like it's something she can't stand to the point where she can't watch The Matrix. It really, really disturbs her. So because I'm awful, I wrote one specifically for her along those lines. And she got mad at me, but... But, you know, she went at me because she wrote a two-sentence horror story about teeth, so I say it's fair.
That's interesting. Oh. I would love to hear more.
Both of us just praying on each other's greatest stories. Fears. Yeah.
Yeah. If you come across any other two-sentence stories that you think are really good, you should bring them to share.
I should definitely
share those on the radio.
Yeah, I believe our six word stories have been printed out and like put on the classroom wall. And the same thing's going to happen with two-sentence ones. So if I see any good ones, I can
take a picture and read
talk
them.
About them.
I just thought of one because you just mentioned thinking about others' fears. And I thought of my own fear. Well, it's kind of a babyish fear, but I still believe that there's a monster somewhere in the house. And because we used to live in the city, they were so noisy. I didn't really believe in that so much. But now, since it's so quiet and eerie, there's a tree right outside my room. And even though I close the curtains as tight as they will go, sometimes I see a shadow.
When you're
and
in a more
really
populated
scary.
Place, I have noticed that, like, fears of, like, intruders go down. Like, I've been in hotels in, like, fairly large cities for dance competitions. And when I'm in those hotels, the funny thing is, even though I'm in an unfamiliar place and something that would probably creep any other person out, I'm not as scared because I know that there are people around me. And if I were to yell, someone would hear me, which is different in your house. So it's weird all the different forms they can take because... One thing about the whole monster under the bed thing is that, like, when you're little, you're still scared that there's a monster under your bed or in your closet. When you get older, that monster might not be so much a monster, but someone who may have broken into your house, which is home invasion is, like, a huge fear as well.
Sure.
That's, like, very common.
I thought of a two-sentence story to go with that fear.
Mm-hmm.
Waiting in the darkness of my bed, trying not to blink.
Yeah. Mm.
That's as far as I can go because I'm trying not to think of going even farther because I'm afraid that I'm going to scare myself.
Well, the whole that is it's also the integrity of a two sentence.
So you need Amelia
story.
to write the true horror story for you. So. Sometimes it's too scary to write about your own fears. But because get Amelia to do it for you.
Because then it goes even bigger and bigger.
Oh, yeah.
And bigger.
Like, I could not write anything having to do with teeth or orthodontal or dentistry. I would work myself into, like, a whole fit. I would not have a good time if I tried to write about that.
But don't blame you for that.
I have a huge fear of the dentist and anything having to do with teeth.
Yeah, I remember when we were talking about Smile by Rana Telgemeier that you were like, nope.
Yeah, I can't.
I don't blame you.
And that book isn't even meant to be like horrific. It really is more of a coming of age book, but just because of the subplot of the teeth, I cannot stand it. It freaks me out way too much to read.
Mm-hmm. The braces part actually freaks me out too, because she said that the brackets are on your... if you don't want to listen to this, maybe
no,
you
I'm okay with the brackets. Like, that's normal things that people do. It's the stuff that isn't normal, like teeth falling out when they shouldn't. That is the root of my fear. But general orthodontal, like, procedures, although if I were to have them done to me, they would scare me. Just hearing descriptions of them doesn't bother me too much, because those are normal procedures.
And so it said that they have the brackets on her teeth. She takes out the wires, and then he pulls it really hard. And tightens it even more, like...
I've heard from people who have braces that does hurt a lot when it's done. I've read from people who have it done that it actually doesn't hurt as much when it's being done so much as it does afterwards in the next few days. That's what my friends say to add braces.
What do you think, Lena?
But
Lena has braces.
Yeah,
right?
You do.
You still have them, right?
Is it more uncomfortable when they're being tightened or like after?
It's more uncomfortable when they're being put on, because my mouth was starting to hurt. Because remember that part where they were working on her teeth and they had that little thing to keep her mouth open? It was uncomfortable. I just wanted my skin to just snap so I could just, leave and so I can go to the hospital.
I have such a hard time with that, too. I don't like having to keep my mouth open for all that time, even for a normal dentist visit. Mm-hmm. I would have had braces if I hadn't been terrified and said, you know what, no. But I was fitted for them, I guess is the right word, with that awful gel stuff. And I'm not gonna lie, I was 16. There's no reason for me to have acted the way I did, but I actually broke down in tears while this was happening to me. I was not having a good time. I was so scared. That orthodontist was the most patient man I've ever met, because I'm sitting here sobbing. It was not good. It was not a fun time.
There's another part about it, and it's not only when she had the braces on, is when she went to the endodontist. That part, then she had to do the scraping of the teeth, and then she was like, oh, why don't you just give her another Tylenol? And in the picture she drew them, it was they were evil with the eyebrows going down, and it was so scary.
Yeah, it doesn't help. Like, the illustration, the fact that it's so cartoony, it almost makes it worse. I feel like I'd be less disturbed if I knew this story was supposed to freak me out, but I know it's not supposed to freak me out, and I'm just freaked out by it anyway, which makes it even more disconcerting.
Yeah, it's like...
I do like drama, though, and I haven't read Guts yet, but drama is probably my favorite that she's written so far. I liked the main character's purple hair, and I think that's the first thing that ever actually made me really want to get my hair dyed, was reading that book and seeing cool purple hair.
And when that book first came out, my Bound by Books co-host, what it inspired in them was wanting to try bubble tea. Because the characters have bubble tea in the book, and nobody knew what it was.
It's so good.
Yeah. I desperately want to like bubble tea or boba tea or whatever you call it.
It's called boba, but people say bubble.
Yeah, because it looks like bubbles.
And it's cute.
But I don't like boba, personally.
I desperately, desperately wanted to like boba/bubble tea. I've tried it many, many times until finally my mom was like, you don't like this. Don't like this. It's actually a mixture of two things I don't like to drink, which is milk and tea. I don't know why I thought I would like the liquid as it is. And then the bobas are just weird and jelly-ish and weird. And I try to drink more to rinse down the boba, and I just end up getting more boba in my mouth. And it's like, oh no, it never ends.
You have to chew it and then swallow. That's actually my mouth's favorite part.
Yeah.
When mom is halfway through it, I just...
You just have
to take a
spoon.
Do you want the bubbles?
You gotta eat it out the bubbles.
It was like, do you want the bubbles? Because I will, absolutely will eat them if you don't want them.
I don't know. Maybe it's the fact that they had so many different flavors of the tea that I thought eventually maybe someday I'd find a kind I like, but it's just not going to happen. Yeah. No matter how much I want to be cool and be able to walk around the mall sipping boba tea, I'm just not going to be that person.
Yeah. Stick with frappuccinos.
So speaking of boba tea, Lena, do you have any book you want to talk about? That was my very
That was a really
segue.
Weird segue, but it was I appreciated that segue so much.
The book does not actually have to do with boba tea.
Yeah. But it starts with the same word.
I didn't have a book to talk about because I was mostly reading The Okay Witch, but I'm going to read again just to trigger my friend. And also
to trigger your friend?
Yes.
Oh, why?
What? How does that trigger
because
your friend?
Why isn't she okay with the Okay Witch book?
She's like, oh, you're done with the book? Finally! And then I'm like, but I'm going to reread.
Oh, does she want...
Does she
want to read the book?
Yeah, whenever
why would you do that to her?
Because whenever I get a book, she steals my book and then it reads it. And I have enough
it's
of...
my turn.
I've
okay,
had
so
enough of it.
This is an even exchange, I guess. Yeah. This is a little eye for an eye thing going on.
Yeah. But did you like
I guess
it
I can...
on first read?
Yeah. But I'm just going to keep renewing the book until...
until
she
the library
just,
bills you.
Yeah, until the library is like, God, woman.
Speaking of witch books, I bought some from Barnes & Noble with my, man, this inspired a thing. I don't know what I hit here, but okay. I bought, like, 3 books about Wicca, more like Wicca religion.
What's Wicca?
It's, oh, that's what these books are going to tell me. as from what I know, it's basically about instead of worshipping a god or one god, you defer to, like, forces of nature and energy, and it has a lot to do with crystals and seasonal changes and Yule and all that kind of stuff. Basically, I bought these books because I wanted to understand it because I had been doing research on the internet, and the internet was telling me 15 different things, so I decided to just choose one source and learn from this one source, and this one source will be what I deal with. So I bought 3 books by the same author. All but one were from the same author. I'm already lying. I'm already not going from the same source.
It's okay.
My philosophy is already falling apart,
maybe
but you know
just
what?
Be
it's
books.
Okay.
Your source can just be books.
Yeah. Yeah. I seem to trust books a bit more than the internet because the internet can be written by anybody, but I can actually like look up these authors and figure out what their like views are because the authors are Wicca practitioners. So I'm like, okay, this is cool. And then I open the first page and it's like, cool. Wicca religions, visualization, all that kind of stuff. And then it goes into, like, how to build an altar. And I'm like, wait. Slow down. You're moving too fast. What
like,
are we
I'm
talking
not there
about?
Yet.
I'm not... I haven't gotten to that point yet. What am I... Explain to me what I'm even, like, worshipping here. What's going on? It's like, and it's going into all these details about how, like, the north and south and east and west, how the altar should be positioned a certain place in the home or in the room to, like, the north, east, south, or west, or whatever.
You need to get a compass.
Yeah, that's it. Like, I have to pull out my compass app on my phone just to start this setting up, and then I don't even know. And then it's like, you gotta have, like, 15 different candles of 15 different colors or scents. And I'm like, whoa. And then here's your crystals. And I'm like, I don't have half of those. Hold on. I'm so confused. My friend is the crystal friend in our group, and I have so many crystals just lined up on my windowsill from her. I don't know what to do with any of them. I literally have no idea what to do with any of them.
Awesome.
Wow.
But yeah, it's wild, and that's just the first book. I haven't even started the other two.
Oh my god.
I haven't even started the other two. I'm just, like, sitting here, like, okay. And it's like, yeah, choose your patron god or goddess. And I'm like, whoa, wait. From what religion are we talking? Egyptian? Greek? Is it up to me? What? I need a bit more context here. And I'm just like, what's going on? It's wild. It's absolutely wild. But it is very,
I think
very...
you should have stuck with the internet.
It is very, very fascinating and interesting to read.
Yeah.
Does it have cool pictures?
No, but it does have a very, very gorgeous cover with a pentacle and like a bunch of gold leaf on it, which is really pretty.
Are your parents worried about you?
My mom actually straight up asked me, are you a witch, after I bought all these books. And I said, no, not yet.
Not yet.
Oh, witch buddies.
You're like, give it time, mom. Give it time.
I'm just like, give it time, mom. I'm one. Hold on.
Amelia, can we be witch buddies?
Sure. Do you know more than I do? I'm looking to anyone at this point.
What if next week we came on the radio and we're like, welcome to Wicca Friends.
Welcome to Bound by Wicca.
Or like, welcome to Bound by Wicca. And today we're going to be talking about crystals and our magic spells. But I know a magic spell.
Crystals, I guess, are that crystals, certain crystals do have a lot of energy. Mm-hmm. Like, I did buy one for myself that my friend did not buy me. That's, and I don't remember what it's called. It's a pale blue thing, which is supposed to help with auditory, like, overstimulation and all that kind of stuff, which is a thing I have a bit of a problem with. So I bought this for myself, and I'm like, maybe this will help, and you're supposed to feel energy from it, or at least, like, hold it and meditate with it, which I haven't done, because I'm awful.
You're not awful.
Yeah, but the point is, I bought these things, and I'm not even doing what I'm supposed to do with them. My one friend just said, put them on your windowsill and something will happen. So now they're all on my windowsill and nothing has happened. It's been months.
Or has it? Maybe it has and you just haven't realized
maybe
it
yet. Is it something bad?
Let's hope not.
I have a bunch of those things now. My friend bought me my birthstone for my birthday as well, which is very fitting.
Oh, nice.
So I have a garnet now.
Wait. When's your birthday again?
It's January 14th. Oh. And my birthstone would be a garnet.
Oh, so my birthstone is the one that you're wearing around your neck.
The pearl?
Yeah, I'm June.
June. I thought I was moonstone.
Yeah, no, it's, like,
But maybe I'm, because I'm later June, maybe it's...
Maybe.
Is it by month or by...
It's, like, by month, like... Well, maybe I I'm just pretty sure it's a gem. Like, the gem is the pearl for the birth month.
Maybe?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's the gem. Hmm.
Maybe.
Not the stone.
Well, to be fair, it's okay, because these probably are definitely not real pearls. But, so don't try to take
them. You can't claim them as yours.
Aww. Yeah.
It's Amelia's necklace.
Yeah.
But anyways, I want to move on to AJ before we run out of time.
Oh, yes.
Do you have a book you wanted to talk about?
Yes, but there's just one more thing about the Wicca. Amelia, you were talking about how it was, like, more focused on the seasons and stuff like that.
Yes.
Well, that I think that for all the viewers that out there that have seen the Frozen 2 movie, it's actually, I think that it's actually based on the Wicca, because they were like these four spirits of the wind, the fire.
That's a thing, though. Like, that is actually a thing. After my mind was left reeling from the temple building instructions, I ended up actually skipping ahead in this book. Despite what I promised myself that I wouldn't do, I did skip ahead, and it got to talking about how to banish bad energy, also called spirits sometimes.
Know.
Bad energy, and how to invite, like, good energy or good spirits. I'm using air quotes. I think the spirits might just be another term for the good energy, but that's an interesting thing that was factored into there. And it's really interesting, because I feel like a lot of media portrays witchcraft in, like, not a great light, like in Hereditary or even The Witch, which are both horror movies. But real life, it's like these people are kind of just chilling with their altars, and and you give thanks to, like, you know, the seasons and the forces of nature that, like, you know, bring food and stuff. Not so much like a god, which I can understand why people would, like, prefer sometimes. But it's basically, yeah, it is. It's a very interesting book. Even if you're, like, not interested in, like, converting or anything, just to read about, it is very fascinating, because it goes into the history of the religion as well.
Sounds very interesting. So, AJ, what have you been reading?
So, this time I actually did remember to bring a book, but sadly you don't have it on the table with us. So, it's this book called A Tale by Letters of Liars and Leaks, and it's about the story of this fifth grade classroom that wants a new water fountain, but then the person, the director who's making it, who's designing the water fountain, goes into all sorts of crazy ideas, and then the fountain in the end, which is on the cover and the back cover, is so different from what the description was. And then in the end there was this letter that says, "Dear Florence, our cafeteria sink is beyond need of repair." And these are the instructions. And I'm like, oh my god, is there gonna be a sequel? I wonder what the kitchen sink's gonna look like. Is it gonna be like this huge fountain that has soap sense geysers that are shooting out of it. I'm like, that's oh so my funny. God, what's going to happen? It's like, oh my God, let's hope to Lord that there's a sequel. And I finished reading it, but I did skip some of the pages, which were just letters from one person who had a crush on this other person. And I'm like, I'm not interested in crushes. I just like, what's going to happen?
That's so funny. About the water fountain. Yeah. Earlier today, my friend was actually talking about how much she hates romance books, so it's funny that we both get into this topic at the same time, which she doesn't really have a reason for. I'm still reading Bitten, by the way. It's very slow going because I honestly don't like it, but I've been dared to read it. But
if you don't want to let the dare go,
I can't admit defeat now. Yeah. Already on page 50. It's beyond the point of no return now. The point of no return is 25. This is something I have decided for myself.
Good luck.
But yeah, I'm still reading that. It's still weird.
Well, I have a couple books I can just quickly give a shout out to, because last week the American Library Association gave out their Youth Media Awards, which are like the big literary awards, or they're considered the big literary awards, at least with librarians in this country. And so the biggest awards are, because they're the ones that have been there the longest as well, are the Newbery Award, which is for writing, and the Caldecott Award, which is for illustration. And the Newbery Award went to The New Kid by Jerry Craft, which I've talked about on the show before.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
a really great graphic novel, comic book.
I know.
And he's
give it to me, please.
And he's come to the Children's Book Festival a number of years, and he'll be here this year as well.
Yay!
Wait,
What
is the author's name again?
Jerry Craft.
Yeah, I think he came to our school last year, but like we had a sign that said, Jerry Craft is coming to the festival this year, and it's like a comic. And then one of the people was like, who's Jerry Craft? Jerry Craft is the author of The New Kid. Welcome, Jerry Craft.
Yay.
Yay.
Yeah, so it won the Newbery Medal. It also won the Coretta Scott King Author Award. And this year, not as part of this award ceremony, it won the Kirkus Prize for Young Readers Literature as well. So he is on a roll and very deserving, in my opinion.
That's great but that he's coming
cool,
to your school.
He also made history with the Newbery Medal because it's the first graphic novel ever to win that award.
Oh, that's great.
In the history of the award.
I really need to read it.
Oh, I love it when graphic novels like get recognition because it feels like they don't a lot. It feels like they're considered lesser than normal novels, which I can't stand when people imply that they're lesser than normal novels. That's cool that he's coming to your school. I miss the grades when like authors would come in to the classroom. Hopefully, maybe if we're lucky, since it is a creative writing class this year, maybe one more time before I get out of school, I'll be able to maybe have an author come in, since that's basically the basis of our class is writing. That would be great.
But what if you end up being one of the authors that gets to go to the grade?
Yeah. That would be great.
That means I would know an author.
That would be
really.
That would be really. That would actually be really nice.
Hello, my future author of my favorite book that I'm going to.
So the one other book I wanted to give a shout out to was The Undefeated by Kwame Alexander and Kadir Nelson. Kwame Alexander has also been to the Hudson Children's Book Festival before, and this is a great book, and it's very appropriate for Black History Month. I'll read you the little description here. The Newbery Award-winning author of The Crossover pens an ode to Black American triumph and tribulation with art from a two-time Caldecott honoree. So now, with this award, it won the Caldecott for Kadir Nelson for the illustrations, and it was also a Newbery Honor book. So Kwame Alexander was awarded that. And it was a winner of the 2020 Coretta Scott King Illustrator Award. But it says, originally performed for ESPN's The Undefeated, this poem is a love letter to Black life in the United States. It highlights the unspeakable trauma of slavery, the faith and fire of the civil rights movement, and the grit, passion, and perseverance of some of the world's greatest heroes. The text is also peppered with references to the words of Martin Luther King Jr., Langston Hughes, Gwendolyn Brooks, and others, offering deeper insights into the accomplishments of the past while bringing stark attention to the endurance and spirit of those surviving and thriving in the present. And it's just a really lovely book. I love Kadir Nelson's illustrations. He's, in my opinion, one of the best children's book illustrators in the world. Basically any book he illustrates, I will get, because his work is just beautiful. But yeah, I'm very excited for them that they won those honors.
So for the last author, even if it were a story that he illustrated that you don't really like that much, would you still read it because of his illustrations?
If I didn't like the story that much? Well, I guess I wouldn't know until I read it.
Would you just look at the illustrations?
Sure. Yeah.
I've bought books to just look at the illustrations, too. That's basically all I do with my I Spy books now, is I look at the illustrations, are really the light word, the sets, I guess. But I do have a book of fairy tales that I look at, because they're all fairy tales that have been made into ballets. So the Nutcracker, Swan Lake. So the illustrations are beautiful in those, but I've never actually read the stories because I know them already. They're classics.
Yeah, but he's pretty selective of what he illustrates, I assume. So they're usually pretty good. He also has written some children's books as well, but he's primarily an illustrator or an artist. But anyways, we're out of time for today. But we'll be back next week to talk about some more books.
And I was just about to say something.
See you, viewers.
Remember it for next time.
Yes.
We hope everyone has a great week, and
we hope that Amelia will be with us next week.
Yeah, I know. I've been gone a lot. I'm sorry.
No more getting sick. Anybody.
I'll try.
Never again.
I'll try.
But my immune system is gone. Let's hope that we're all too healthy for that.
I've been through 3 years of high school. My immune system said we're done. Fourth year, we're leaving.
And scene.
Anyway, bye.
Have a good week. Happy reading.
Tune in to live webcasts at WGXC.org. Extra webcasts that aren't available on 90.7 FM. But you can go to the Wavefarm app that's free in the App Store, or go to WGXC.org and click on the full schedule to find out all the extra web streams available. This week, Monday, February 10th, the city of Hudson has an informal common council meeting with two public hearings about local laws. That starts at 6 p.m. with the meeting at 7 p.m., and you can listen at wgxc.org. Wednesday, February 12th, the Hudson Housing Authority meets at 6 p.m. You can listen at wgxc.org. Thursday, the Hudson Community Development and Planning Agency meets at 10:30 a.m., Thursday, February 13th, at wgxc.org. Friday, February 14th, Valentine's Day, Brian DeWan has a special love song performance at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill, followed by the Spell Spinning Records and Other Sounds, Friday, February 14th, live from the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. Saturday, February 15th, another show live from the Avalon Lounge in Catskill is Pom Pom's Punk Prom. That includes performances from Drug Bile from Catskill, Super Always, Sonic Blue from White Plains, Nine Votes Short from Albany, Phantom Sleaze from Catskill, Dark Hippie from New Paltz, RBNX from Poughkeepsie, and Pom Pom Girls from Catskill. Saturday, February 15th, starting at 7 p.m. and lasting all night on the web at WGXC.org. Also live on 90.7 FM with the web stream from the Spotty Dog Books and Ale in Hudson. The Art Duo E-Team has their Graveland book release and performance. We'll tune in live from the Spotty Dog Books and Ale on 90.7 FM, and there's a webcast available, wgxc.org, Saturday, February 15th. Sunday, February 16th, live from the Avalon Lounge, SVB and RRB are the team for this Invisible City show. Tune in to their performances at wgxc.org or in the Wave Farm app.
Hi, my name is Maddie.
And I'm Serena.
Here's the Catskill News. The vote tally is in.
The people have spoken.
Down to the last vote.
Everyone counted.
Overwhelming responses.
Our committee decided on the upper field design.
The final design will be option 2C.
That was my choice.
Yeah, the orange end zone.
That was the best one.
Dr. Cook and our school board wanted to get our community stakeholders to vote on the new upper field design. A survey went, and our community sent in their choices. Option 2C received a whopping 84% of the vote. The people have spoken.
Matt Ravenberg recently sat down with Mr. Rivers in the CES to discuss the upcoming improvements and repairs to his facility.
Hi, I'm Matthew Ravenberg here with Mr. Rivers discussing the Capitol Project. Your elementary school will see major improvements with the Capitol Project.
Yes, they are going to receive lots of different improvements between our infrastructure outside and climate control stuff going on in the classrooms.
Has there been any progress at the CES?
A lot of the progress has been behind the scenes. We've been meeting with the architects and the contractors on a monthly basis throughout the school year, and I think we're expected to start in the summer of 2020.
What areas do you expect to be completed first?
Luckily for the elementary school, most of the work is going to be completed in the summer of 2020. Most of the driveways and the parking lots, the air conditioning in the classrooms, the roof is going to be done over the summer and probably trickle into the fall of 2020. But most of all of our stuff will be done by the fall, early winter of 2020.
At the recent district meeting, did they lay out a safety plan?
Safety is a big concern. They talked about student safety, talked about faculty and staff safety. They've laid out plans where any contractor who is on campus needs to be vetted. They need to be going through our building, our supervisory, and making sure that they are vetted through there. And they are not allowed to talk to any students or staff members while they are here. So the safety plan has been mapped out pretty extensively.
Are you excited about the improvements to the CES?
So one of the things that I'm really excited about is going to be the student drop-off and pickup area. We're going to revamp that, the entryway, and how that's going to increase safety and efficiency. So we're excited about that.
Thank you, Mr. Rivers.
You're welcome.
I'm Matthew Rivenberg reporting on the Capitol Project.
Matt is a regular reporter for the Capitol Project and is part of our district's efforts to keep everyone informed of all aspects of the construction. Columbia Green Community College has updated their admission requirements. Students must have an advanced Regents diploma and an 80 in English and math. If a student does not meet the new admission requirements, they can still enroll in a remedial non-credit bearing courses. SUNY Schenectady will host group informational sessions during winter break February 17th through 21st from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. There are two-hour sessions where students will learn more about our academic programs. See your guidance counselor for registration details. On February 14th, we will run on a shortened rally schedule in order to accommodate the PBIS day called the Winter Carnival. It will consist of three activities starting at 1:10 p.m. and going to the end of the school day. The morning of the Winter Carnival, we will have our quarterly honor roll breakfast during periods 1 and 2. It will be a great day for our students that do it right every day. The annual Martin Luther King Jr. March for Peace and Justice was held at Catskill, starting with a march from the Baptist Church to the courthouse and back to the school for a beautiful celebration of his life.
I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the Red Hills in Georgia, the sons of former slaves and sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day, even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice.
It wouldn't be a Dr. Cook without Dr. King, because Dr. King created a lot of opportunities that sometimes, especially our younger students, take for granted. So it's very important, as we recognize this federal holiday of Dr. King, that you sit down and reflect on a lot of the things that he stood for, because there's still work to do. And I want our students to reflect, because you should be the next one standing up and the next nigga standing up for equalities out here in society.
Even though he passed, we still remember him for the great speeches he did. Now we shall start.
There was no one in American history that spoke the word of God more than Martin Luther King Jr. And if you look at his life compared to Jesus Christ's life, there are a lot of similarities.
Tonight we say thank you for your word that became flesh and dwelt among us. It's with mixed emotions and grateful hearts. We say thank you for our Moses. Thank you for our drum major of peace. Thank you for our nonviolent leader of justice. Thank you for his wife and his children who made sharing sacrifices so many times over and over so that we could follow. Thank you, Lord, for placing a part of Dr. King in all of us.
one of the most important community events we do here at Catskill.
Ms. Sonati is being recognized as the district's employee of the month for January. She recognized as the district's marvelous motivator. Congratulations to Ms. Sonati.
Catskill Rotary recently recognized the November and December Students of the Month. For November, Mia Gottesman and Nathan Reardon, and for December, Maya Segura and Jose Mendez. Congratulations to all on this important recognition.
Catskill families are cordially invited to attend the FCSDLA Family Dinner on Tuesday, February 11th in the high school cafeteria from 6 to 7:30. It will be a make-your-own taco bar. The family meal will be complete with games, trivia, and prizes. Bring a dish to share or a personal care item. The personal care items are being used to set up a care basket for Catskill High School students. Hope to see all of you at this important event.
Our Yellow Ribbon recently presented their program to the combined CMS and CHS faculty meeting.
Our main focus is teen suicide prevention, but we're hoping that the teens will carry this knowledge the rest of their life, so if they need to, they can help a family member or a friend in the future. Mike Emmy, he was a bright, funny, loving teen. He was a popular kid in his high school, and he played sports. He was involved with clubs after school, but the thing was, he was well known for his 1968 Ford Mustang, which was yellow, and he completely restored himself. And one day, Mike and his girlfriend broke up, and he couldn't handle it, and he completed suicide. He wrote a note saying, "Don't blame yourselves, Mom and Dad. I love you. Love, Mike, 11:45 p.m. And his parents arrived home at 11:52 p.m., and they were 7 minutes too late. Everyone was shocked by what had happened, because no one expected it. Everyone was distraught. Mike's friends asked his parents if there was anything that they should do, and they said, if you're ever at this point of deepest despair, ask for help. His friends really took what she said seriously, and they made 500 yellow ribbon cards for Mike's yellow Mustang. The cards were put out at his service, and by the end of his wake, all 500 cards were gone. They began to spread throughout the community and then into neighboring cities and then across the whole nation. Yellow Ribbon has grown to become an international program which has saved a countless number of lives.
It was an important lesson for our teachers provided by our students.
There will be a benefit for Matsubota on Saturday, March 7th from 3 to 7 p.m. at the Catskill Elks Lodge. Tickets are $20 each and include salad, bread, chicken parmesan, pasta, and dessert. Matsubota is a Catskill graduate and former district employee. He is currently battling stage 4 pancreatic cancer. Please support this event for one of our own in need. Contact Ms. Borgen at the Catskill Elementary School.
Catskill Central School District has started a new dinner program that provides free balanced meals for all Catskill students ages 18 and under. All district students can stop by the Catskill Middle School cafeteria from 2:15 to 4 p.m. on any regular scheduled full day of school to enjoy a healthy, delicious, balanced dinner. No registration is required. Another example of Catskill working together to help our students.
Interested in redesigning or creating a garment for the annual fashion show? You can do just that in the fashion studio. All students are invited to the fashion studio in Ms. Marino's room on Thursdays from 2:30 to 3:30. No sewing experience needed. See Ms. Marino if you have any questions. How exciting!
Here's our sports schedule for this upcoming week.
Congratulations to Devon Hay for reaching the 1,000-point milestone, and Coach Lantman for charting his 300th win in his coaching career. It was a great night in Catskill with our teams dominating the court. Now to our upcoming sports schedule. Monday, the boys' varsity volleyball travels to Voorheesville, and modified teams play home versus Coxsackie. Tuesday, our boys' basketball team travels to Coxsackie for the season's final league matchup. Wednesday, modified teams travel to Rensselaer, and JV girls are playing Coxsackie away. Thursday, boys volleyball hosts Greenville. Friday, our modified teams travel to Hudson, and our Lady Cats host Albany Leadership.
What did the Dalmatians say after he ate his lunch?
What?
That hit the spot.
Thanks for watching Cats Can and Cats Will.
Hi, I'm Shersha Mizan from Hudson. You are listening to WGXC Accra 90.7 FM. Thank you.
Find out where the music takes Erin G. on the next Deep Threes when we hear her distinctive take on the human voice as an instrument. Plus tracks from Kieto, the Czech Korea Electric Band, and Morphology. Deep Threes. Music beyond boundaries for a digital world.
Tune in to Deep Threes after the noon news on Monday at WGXC 90.7 FM.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Mid-Hudson Cable, serving Columbia, Greene, and Southern Albany counties with digital cable, high-speed internet, and cable phone services for homes and businesses since 1971. Mid-Hudson